All right, welcome back to the show. It's the best time on a Wednesday. We get to roll in Chris Coleman of SexSideline.com. Christopher, how you doing, brother?
Doing great, man. How about you?
Doing real good. See you munching down on some cheese fries from Champs on a Champs Wednesday. Always good stuff in here.
Absolutely.
Want to feed you well, brother. Want to feed you well. All right, Chris, you know what? We've been debating about this for a couple of days now, maybe all week. And for me, well, you know what? Let me ask you. I'm not even going to tell you my side. I'm going to ask you straight out. All right? The Hokies, not where LSU is as far as football is concerned, not where Ohio State is in football. So in your eyes, this schedule comes out, 2008-2009 schedule comes out. What do you think about the out-of-conference schedule?
I think it's fine, to be honest with you. I mean, you got to ask yourself, as a fan, do you want to win the national championship, or do you just want to have a really nice schedule where you have good out-of-conference games, a good road trip every year? You know, and I think this year's schedule, you know, offers both of that. I mean, Tech's playing at a traditional power in Nebraska. That's going to be a great road trip. It's going to be a lot of fun for Tech fans who make that trip. But at the same time, it's a game Tech can win. When Tech went to LSU last year, you know, I mean, yeah, that satisfied, you know, everybody who harps on the out-of-conference schedule every year. But if Tech had played directional Michigan instead of playing LSU, they might have been playing in the national championship game last year. That scheduling that series with LSU might have cost Virginia Tech a shot at the national title last year.
The only reason why I disagree with that last statement, that last line, is when people look at the out-of-conference schedule, when I say people, I mean the people that matter, the BCS committee. When they look at the out-of-conference schedule and they see those teams and they don't see LSU, to me that weighs a little bit. And I know most people say, well, you know, whether it be LSU or Ohio State, Ohio State has their Youngstown and they have their Troy. LSU has their Troy and whoever else, Louisiana Tech. But those schools are where you want to go as far as the Hokies are concerned. They're not there yet. To me, when you're Virginia Tech, you've got to get to that level to where those other schools are. And by playing a soft schedule, to me, it slows down the process. I see your point. You make a very valid point. But to me, by playing a soft schedule, you don't separate yourself from the other schools that win 10 or 11 games.
Right. No, I hear you. But, you know, the bottom line to me is when you go into that four or five-star recruit's house right now and you can tell him Virginia Tech has won 10 or more games for 4 years in a row, you know, he's not going to ask, how many times did you play James Madison? I mean, he's going to say that you played in the ACC, you won a conference championship in two of those 4 years. You know, I mean, you've got to build up, yeah. But, you know, to beat a player like to beat teams like LSU, you have to get the players first. You know, you're not going to roll down there and beat them without the horses. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's an argument could be made both ways. You know, to me personally, I'm not a big national championship guy. You get me 10 wins in a season and an ACC championship, you know, I'm completely content. I mean, I enjoyed my road trip to LSU last year. I wouldn't give that road trip back for anything, you know. But, you know, there is the argument, you know, Tech might have been in that game last year if they had played, you know, in you know, Western Michigan or somebody like that. Because, you know, as it stood, Tech finished third in the BCS at the end of the conference championship games. And the reason they were that low is because, you know, they got skipped in the human polls because LSU beat them so bad. If they had beaten Western Michigan, you know, and finished 11-1, you know, that they would not have been able to, I don't think they could have had the right to jump Virginia Tech, those other teams. You know, the pollsters could not have put USC and all those with two losses over a Virginia Tech team, because then they wouldn't have had their excuse that, oh, Virginia Tech got pounded by the only good team they played.
Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us on a Champs Wednesday here on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430 and the Len Martez Show. You're in the minority because you're satisfied, and not to say it's right or wrong, but you're satisfied with 10 wins, consecutive years, and an ACC championship. But there are people, and I think the majority, that want a national championship, that want to play in a BCS bowl game. And because of that, and I see your point as far as recruiting is concerned, you walk into a kid's house and he's not talking about Ohio. He's not talking about the other teams you might play, ECU, whoever it might be, Furman, anyone else. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking about numbers, how many games you win. So your point in that regard is definitely where I'm with you. I'm on that same line. But when you want to get to the next level, granted, your position is 10 wins, 11 wins, consecutive years, hey, you give me one good out-of-conference game, and I'm cool. But your position is the minority. A lot of people want this school to get to the next level. And, yes, you need the players. But to me, a lot of teams have players, Chris. Clemson has players. Virginia has players. Wisconsin has players. To me, you got to separate yourself from those other programs.
Right. I think a lot of teams do have players. I think Virginia Tech, you know, they obviously have a lot of very good football players. And I think the last 2 years, the only thing that has really kept Virginia Tech out of that next level is offensive line play, in my opinion. We'll see how that goes now. I think Tech's offensive line is going to get better, but, you know, now is the defense going to be as good? You know, it's a revolving door for most programs. You know, every program has a weakness year in and year out. You know, do I want to win a national championship? Yes, absolutely. But, you know, at the same time, I'm not going to be the type that, you know, is spoiled by 10-win seasons and just can't sit back and enjoy it for what it is, you know, an ACC championship and 10 wins. You know, I think some people get a little extreme with the national championship stuff. You know, you can have a lot of fun paying attention to college football without winning the national championship.
What worries you defensively going into the 2008 season?
Defensive tackle. Defensive tackle is the main position that worries me. You know, the Hokies don't have a lot of experience there. They've got John Graves, who's got some experience. Cordero Thompson's got some experience. You know, everybody else there doesn't have any experience. Quamaine Battle redshirted last year. Justin Young redshirted last year. Dale Robertson will be a redshirt sophomore. He's never really played before. So I think they'll be fine with their starters. It's just the depth is very concerning to me right now.
You don't worry about the linebacker core?
No. I like Brett Warren quite a bit. I thought he did a great job filling in for Vince Hall. They're going to have trouble, you know, when you look at Xavier at DB, best coverage linebacker Virginia Tech's ever had at the backer position. They're going to have trouble getting that production again. But at the same time, I like Pradell Sturdivant. Whenever he's played before, he's done a good job. You know, he's a guy who's a super iron Hokie in the weight room. He's going to be a redshirt senior. He knows the system. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be great, but I think he's going to be solid. And you bring back Cam Martin and Whip, and I think Virginia Tech will have a good linebacking core next year. I'm not really all that worried about the secondary. You know, Virginia Tech always has a good secondary. They're always putting secondary guys in the NFL. I saw a mock draft today that had Cam Chancellor as a first-round pick in next year's draft coming out after his junior year. I mean, Tech has some big-time players back there, you know. So my big concern is defensive tackle because you look at the Super Bowl the other day. I thought the Patriots were better at every position on the field except up front. You know, and that's where the New York Giants, their ends and tackles dominated the game. And that's how Virginia Tech has made their living. Their defensive tackles getting penetration in the backfield. And if they can get that production again this year, then they'll have a chance to be a top 10 defense again. But it does concern me.
Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us on ESPN 1430 and the Len Martest Show. I agree with you. I like Brett Warren. I like what he did when he played for Vince in the situation that Vince had as far as the hands concerned. And actually, sure, it wasn't something we wanted to see, but it was a blessing in disguise because we at least saw what Brett was able to do. And with that, we saw that that guy was capable of shedding blockers, making plays. He didn't have to be on an island by himself where he wasn't getting blocked and making plays. I like linebackers that can actually shed blocks, find the ball carrier, and hit the guy. And Brett showed me he can do that. With that said, let's go to the other side. And you mentioned the offensive line. The biggest concern for me on the offensive line is obviously the guy you lose in Dwayne Brown. And sure, I know a lot of people argue about how good Dwayne Brown actually was, but he was solid in the sense where every time that you played on Saturday or Thursday, he was ready to play. So how do you replace him?
It's going to be tough to replace. You know, I was one of those guys that coming into this year, I thought he was a little bit overrated, but I thought he had a great senior season. And I thought this year he was a legit first-team All-ACC player. But, you know, unfortunately he only made the second team. But how do you replace him? I don't know yet. I'm not sure the coaches know yet. You know, you've got the option of moving Ed Wang from right tackle to left tackle. You've got the option of maybe giving Blake DeChristopher a chance at left tackle or giving him a shot at right tackle when you move Wang over to left tackle. You know, or you could look at it, your only other player with tackle experience is Nick Marshman. But then we're back to last year all over again, you know, and you don't want that.
Puzzle and putting pieces in places.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, in my opinion, even more so than wide receiver, finding a good left tackle this spring is the most important thing for Virginia Tech's offense.
Let's go to the hardwood. Let's talk a little hoops. Two-game losing streak, lost to North Carolina State, lost to Miami here. Both teams that you would look on paper and say the Hokies should win those games, especially with the start they had in conference. How do we fix the problem?
Give it another year. You know, the good thing about
we don't have another year, brother. We play on Saturday.
The good thing about freshmen is they eventually become sophomores. You know, but you know, I mean, this is just the ACC. Virginia Tech, you know, they had a few 1-point victories earlier in the season. You know, and that just catches up to you at some point. You know, NC State is a team that Tech always struggles against. Generally, always lose to them by double digits too. I mean, it's generally not close at all. I think Virginia Tech played them better this past Wednesday than they did any time last year with all those seniors they had last year. Against Miami, you know, Miami's a good basketball team. You look at them, they got talent. I mean, those three-pointers Jack McClinton made in the second half, there's no good defense for that, you know? I mean, hand right in his face. You know, obviously, I think Virginia Tech could have played better. They could have played better on the boards and showed a little toughness. But, I mean, it's the ACC we're talking about. I mean, when you're 5-5 after 10 games of six freshmen, I mean, that's still pretty good. I think Tech will lose the next two games and drop to 5-7. But I think most of us were really expecting about five wins this year. And, you know, with the ACC, I kind of take it in four-game stretches. You know, how are you after four games? How are you after eight games? How are you after 12 games? Where are you after 16? So I think we evaluate seasons in stretches. You know, we don't look at the last game or the last two games, you know, because you might get on a streak after that. Even North Carolina is beatable. You look at them right now. I mean, they've won some very close games in this conference. You know, they barely beat Clemson early in the season. It took a colossal choke job from Clemson the other night for them to win at home. I mean, they were close to losing two straight home games. They were close to having three ACC losses, all three of which were at home. You know, I mean, they barely escaped last place UVA in Charlottesville the other night. So, I mean, they're a beatable team, especially without their point guard, you know, and especially when they're now third string or fourth string point guard. What is Guinier, their fourth string point guard now?
He's actually there. They're down to their fourth string. Actually, Guinier's actually hurt a little bit.
He has a sprained ankle. Yeah. So they've actually had to designate, I think, a fifth string point guard in case he can't go. You know, I doubt Roy Williams has ever had to do that before. So they're a beatable team. I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know.
I think Roy Williams is actually putting some sneakers on to actually play in the game on Saturday because, well, Lawson should be back on Saturday. So we'll find out if the Hokies can slow him down. I don't think the biggest issue for them would be his quickness. I think the biggest issue on Saturday will be Tyler Henslow
absolutely.
And the guy inside. Christopher, we got to roll, man. Thanks for the time, as always, man. We'll talk next week.
Yes, sir. Enjoy it.
Chris Coleman of TechStyleLine.com joining us here on Black Sports ESPN 1430. Got to take a short time. Be right back.